through the nerve and the way society is ordered, it favors the male over the female in certain ways that gives male a superiority. Even the history of male and female occupations clearly explain to us why men are physically stronger and more suited to the work field, to the work market, to the work field, or the work, or the job market. More suited because of this long tradition over the generations of having experience and activity and being in control of that. We do not have, according to our understanding of the Quran and the example that Prophet Muhammad has set, we do not have an intellectual superiority only because of advantage. That's the only reason we have it. Given the same circumstances, sisters can compete with us, equal us, and if circumstances favor them, they will surpass us. We have in the Islamic world cases where the intellectual female has risen above all the intellectual males and become the strongest and most dependent upon, most reliable authority for even the males. Recently, you know, we have in Islamic history of Islamic communities, women rising up in the society to become the heads of state. The heads of state. So, if the whole, all the men belonging to a particular nation accept to have a woman over them, that should tell us that there is really no real inequality of the sexes. That's why God says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah highly glorified is He says, men, males, have an advantage over females, and females have an advantage over males. Men have rights over women, women have rights over men. And Allah Most High says, I'm speaking in the international, addressing the international community situation now. Allah says that God does not disregard or discount the work of any worker, whether male or female. Right. Whether male or female. Hmm. Now let us understand what that means. If I'm a welder by trade and a lot of other things. I'm a welder by trade and I work on a job doing a certain thing. Say I'm welding tank for acid, to hold acid. The wells have to be such that even acid can't come through a crack. And a female comes there and she can do the same thing. She can satisfy the boss, the company, just like I can. By that saying in the Quran, it would be unfair to the female to give her less money than I make. And this is the issue, one of the issues right now, isn't it? That women are working, doing the same job that the male is doing, satisfying the company just as the male is, but getting two different scales, two different salaries. That's not right. That's not just. I have seen with my own eyes in travel, and I've seen it so often, it makes me think that it's a common thing that happens in the international community of Muslims, or I would say overseas. Men treating women like they are their children, treating the wife like the wife is his child, or his slave. I was with a brother, you know, I used to think I was pretty good. I was with a brother, and he was enough to make me feel that we could handle it. So I have a little back problem now, you know. And I'm leaving the get entangled with a tough guy, he might get the advantage of me. So I had a pretty tough brother with me. I told him, I said, look at that, look what he's doing. I said, we should stop. And then I thought, I said, we're in a foreign country, they'll lock us up in there. I changed my mind, but what I did, I let the man know that I saw him, and I gave him a stab. Believe me, I could set paper afire sometimes. And he got very nervous. He started trying to behave differently. He was treating her just like a pack animal. He had a little light thing in his hand. He had hair pulling. Suitcases looked like to me altogether they might have been 200 or 300 pounds. She struggled with one, went back and got another. Bringing the nuggets out of the hotel. Out of the room, pardon me. And carrying it onto, I guess, to the elevator. That's probably where they were going. And that's one example of one thing that I've seen. I saw an old man take a stick and raise it up a cane. And he was so old and weak, it looked like he had 40 wives demanding his strength. He raised his thing up, and I'm looking at it from a distance off, a good ways away, you know, out in the open plain, you can see a long way. He raised his cane up and came right down on her head like that. And she fell. And I could hear her scream from the distance. And a little time, thank Allah, the police was there. And the police checked him. But he began to talk to the police, and I could see the police favoring him over the wall. Yeah. The police was more listening more mainly to what he was saying. Mm-hmm. But the police just pushed him a little bit and let him go. Mm-hmm. Leadership in the Islamic world, if it's going to be respected as Islamic leadership by me, and I'm sure by many of you, it has to correct situations like that, ignorance like that, that's existing in those nations or in those countries. They have to correct it. Until they correct it, I can't respect them as being any Muslim that we should look to and admire or even feel comfortable with. We can't feel comfortable with them as long as they're allowing the abuses of females like that. If they allow the abuse of females like that, they will allow the abuse of other weak members in the society. That's not all I would like to say in addressing the international community, but I'm going to pull that particular area out by saying this. In spite of the ignorance of Quran and our Prophet's life, prayers and peace be on him, that exists in the leadership and also in the general membership of nations or Islamic societies, we do appreciate a revival of interest in an independent review of the Quran and the life of the Prophet. That's growing everywhere. Everywhere. In Sudan and everywhere. There's a new interest in researching again and rethinking again to see have we ourselves made mistakes in our own perceptions, in our own understanding of what is Islam, what Allah has revealed, and what the Prophet has demonstrated for us. So we appreciate that. And with that general interest in going back to check our own self to see if our fathers went wrong, we have proof that the need to do justice by females, by women, is a growing concern in the international Ummah. It is a growing concern. Let's come now to our community. I said in the beginning, I hope I'm not taking up too much time. I said, I know you have a schedule and I don't want to. suggest that what makes our situation more serious than that the international, the community of Muslims have, than the nations outside of America have, is that we are new converts. And most of our people look to our imams, our writers in the newspaper, and others for understanding of Islam. And we are too busy trying to take care of our family, take care of the house, or whatever, keep a job, and be ready for the job the next day, rest up on the weekend. We're just too busy to become students and study it, or learn it, learn the people in Islam. So the responsibility is on those who devote themselves to that study full time, or at least give special attention to that study. So the responsibility is on our imams, responsibility is on our Islamic teachers, the school teachers, responsibility is on our members of our community that writing the paper on Islam. Responsibility on these. And if any of you all find any of us, including myself, not respecting what Allah has revealed and what the Prophet Muhammad has demonstrated, you should call us to account. And if you can't call us to account, you should reject us.
That's right.
But don't do it without knowledge. Now I've been called everything. And some of it's true. But I have relationship with only one woman. I have relationship with only one woman. I've had to marry several times. I'm newly married to Sister Bina Muhammad. And she's with me now. She's somewhere in the hotel here. She's here with me. I don't like any confusion. But, you know, we're all human. We're not God. Our goddesses.
That's right.
We're human. So we have to tolerate each other and be patient with each other and bear until the very end. But I ain't gonna let nobody put me and them in hell together. Down into hell, you know, if I can't help. But I'm definitely not going to walk down into the pit with, you know, with another person. So there's a limit. And I love every woman that I have married. I love them. I wouldn't marry a woman until I love them first. I love them. And because of the means that Allah has made available to me, I do not have any woman that I ever married on the street, on welfare, or begging. Most of my income, and it is a big income, because I not only get a good income from the ministry, I also make lectures, I do other things, I have publications, I get income from those things. Most of my income goes to take care of my family, and I consider my family, my children, by each one of the wives that I have been married to, and the one that I have married, she has four children. My obligation is to help her with her children. In fact, they're no longer her children, they're our children. And most of them, they're up where, you know, they can't do anything but just excite the life in me, you know, looking at me. So then I don't do anything but prolong my life, you know. So they don't demand that much from me at all. In fact, she doesn't demand that much from me at all. She has her own home. I didn't have to buy her home. She has a home. So, and she lost her husband. Her husband was killed. I know her husband. Good brother, he was killed. Robbed. Killed. Mm-hmm. So, I was miserable. And I saw feet. Is it? So I hear this talk. Yes, I would have four wives if I could manage it. I can't manage it. I would. If I could manage it, I would have them all. And they're not quite four, they're three. I certainly would have those three. I would have them all together if I could manage it. But I can't manage it. And I don't think they can manage it. So I don't have it. But some of these brothers, they tell me they manage it very well. Congratulations. But remember the rule of justice, brother.
There you go.
And Allah Most Glorified says, if you cannot be fair by orphans, then marry only one of those in whom your right hand possesses. Now, says right hand. Right hand itself implies that the reason, the justification for you having those is justice.
That's right.
What is justice? There was war, many widows, many orphans, and there was no such thing as orphanage to take care of them. Society hadn't evolved those institutions like an orphanage. An orphanage, really, not right now, is not acceptable to Muslims. We would tolerate that, but that's not acceptable to an orphanage. Home for the elderly, not acceptable. So we can do better, you know, we try to get it and try to run it as best we can, if we can. But it's not acceptable. We are not supposed to throw our members of our family into some facility for others to manage, and we go there and see them once a week.
That's right.
We are supposed to find family member with the means, and that family member with the means is obligated by Islam to take care of that relative.
That's right.
And have family come over and see that relative, and the family share responsibility for that relative. That's the way it's supposed to be. I don't have the time. There's so many things out there should say that need to be corrected and understood. But inshallah, soon I'll be writing the Sharia for America. And we will deal with all these issues. We'll deal with all of these problems and issues, inshallah. Now, the brothers should understand that the first reason should be for taking on more than one wife is that you are going to help relieve society of a burden that's on society. Here's a woman that is widowed. She doesn't have a man to help her to be her company and her protection anymore. She doesn't have a father for her children anymore. So you take her as a wife to give a home, a better existence to her children first, but also to her. Allah obligated us to take care of the widow, to take care of the orphan. And he says that you can't be just by the orphan. I mean, if you can't treat her child like you treat your own child, then you keep only one wife.
That's right.
Then marry only one. If you can't be just by the orphans, then marry only one. Now we know that that's not the only basis for a plurality of wives, more than one wife. Another reason for having more than one wife is that you married to one wife and now she can no longer take care of the needs. And you are taxed, you don't have Now, you're not free to give her the kind of help she needs or to take it over yourself. Take over that little responsibility yourself. So are you married? You've been her permission. If you possibly can get it, but sister, I have to correct you. He does not have to get your permission. If he is obeying what Allah has ordered, if he meets the qualification that Allah has given, he does not have to have your permission. And in that case, then, you have to either accept what he has imposed upon you because of his circumstance or situation, or you have to ask for divorce, and you can divorce him. No sister is to be forced into a polygamous arrangement. There is no compulsion in this religion, and certainly no domination. We cannot dominate or impose and force our will on each other. That's against Islam. This is a religion of peace, not the religion of force or domination. Yes, so he can. He does have other justifications other than just taking care of it. He has other justifications. Say he married you, and you were a help to him in his business. And now you can't help him in his business anymore. He meets another sister, and he should be looking for another sister that would he can help or marry that will relieve the side. He shouldn't just be looking at attractive sister. He shouldn't just be looking for a pretty woman, or a shapely woman, or a younger woman. No. That would cancel out his right to have more than another wife. Because Allah says, and do not marry out of lust. And lust means desiring her physically. There's no reason to marry a woman. I want her physically. There's no reason to marry. There's reason for animals to come together. There's no reason to marry a woman because she attracts me physically. Oh, she's attractive. Oh, she's pretty. Oh, I like the curves. Oh, I like the sneaky, thing. No. That's no reason. That kills my quality. That kills all the quality in me that is Islamic, decent for a human being. That kills it. But if she has the other things I'm looking for and had that too, I look at that after I look at the other things. And then I say, thank you, God. If we mature as Muslims, if we mature in Islamic thinking with knowledge of Quran regarding this particular matter, if we mature, we look at a sister that we used to not even pay attention to, and that sister becomes so beautiful and attractive to us. Why? Because we don't look for the same things anymore. We look for peace. God said he had made us that we should have what? Peace with each other. Tranquility. That we should find in mating each other that tranquility of the soul. My soul is at rest in peace with you. Your soul is at rest in peace with me. I love to sleep with you. I rest so well beside you. That's what makes real marriage. You know? Well, you just got some meat over there you looking at. That's not the quality relationship that Allah wants. Brother should never be drawn into a relationship because of that kind of attraction. He should be drawn in a relationship, first of all, because he feels that he will be a better Muslim, that it will not hurt his Islam and his Muslim life, but give better situation for that life by joining that sister. If he thinks that joining that sister is going to give a worse situation for his Islamic life, then he should hold back, even though the sister have a lot of things to offer him. And Allah also says, not directly, but through Muhammad as an example for us, that anyone, the Prophet said, any brother who turns down a good, faithful, believing Muslim woman, what he will get behind that will be hell. This is what our brother should understand. Even when we divorce women, Allah says, and don't just divorce them, but separate from them with kindness and with a generous offer. With a generous offer. Offer them something that helps them in their life after you. This is the Islamic way. This is the Muslim way. The Prophet, as we know, prayers and peace be upon him, he was allowed a certain number of wives. Some say 12, some say 9. 9 wives. But it reached a certain number, Allah said that you are not permitted to marry any woman after this. That's in the Quran. Allah put a stop on the number of wives that the Prophet could have. Now understand that the Prophet was a new teacher, a new leader and teacher for a society of men that had been privileged to have any number of women they wanted to have and had no law to protect those women. And they divorced them at will without having to go to any court or have any law over them. Understand that. And brothers, if we understand that, then we should understand also that if the Prophet was limited at that time, and Allah ordered that men of means be limited and be given very strict rules to follow in order to qualify for more than one wife, that should tell us, given that time and that and the conditions and the and what the society was used to, that we shouldn't be so quick to disrupt the peace and order of the American society by taking on more than one woman in a society that tries to take care of the women by taxing all of us, and that includes me, too much. They try to take care of all the women, all with the children, all the women with the children, all the women that are widows, etc., that need public aid or help, assistance. We should not be so quick to try to imitate a practice of that time in America, given the circumstances and the situation and the thinking and the sensitivity in the people of this society. We should be very cautious and very hesitant to take on another wife, because this society is not a society that have had many wives or allow men to have many wives. This is a society that believes a man should have only one wife. So out of respect for the sentiments of the society, we should not want to just take on another wife. We should be compelled to take on another wife because we need that another wife, that second wife so bad, or that third wife so bad. And the need is supported or justified in Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet, in the life of the Prophet. Peace be on him. That should be the attitude of our men, not to just go and get another woman because I'm unhappy. Allah is my witness, I never got another woman because I was unhappy. I never rejected a woman because I was unhappy. I rejected a woman because I was miserable. And I never rejected a woman just because I was miserable. I rejected her because she was also miserable. If I'm just miserable, I can live with that. But you miserable too? No, that's too much. I could never walk away from a happy woman. A woman that's happy with no. So I hope you haven't done that, brother. I could never walk away from a sister that's happy with me. No. If she's happy with me, I'm going to be happy with her. And Allah is my witness. She can be 80 years old. She can be from bushland in Africa. I think they call it call the bush people. Little sharp people with booties that big.